why you got to testify. All right? Five reasons why you got to testify. Five reasons it's important for us to make testimonies a regular, everyday part of our Christian lives. Okay? So reason number one, Ann. Because stopping to reflect has a transformative effect. Everybody repeat. Here we go. Stopping to reflect has a transformative effect. Okay? Now, we go through our lives just really, really busy. You know, we got kids to take care of. We got work. We got school. We got assignments. We got houses to clean. We got all kinds of stuff to do that we so rarely stop to just think, what is going on in my life? But sometimes when you can stop, when you can put the brakes on your life, and when you can reflect back on all the things that have been happening and really what has been going on and how have I been living my life, whether you do it through journaling or blogging or whether you do it through talking to friends or whether you do it through talking to your spouse or family members, stopping to reflect can be such a healing thing. When you've been so busy that you don't even know what you've been busy with, or when you've been so stressed, you don't even know what reason you have to look for light at the end of the tunnel, right? That when you actually stop to think about what's really going on in my life, what really am I living for, God can use that so much to really help you to figure out exactly what you're about, to figure out exactly what you're living for, exactly what all this running around is for. Okay, so one reason it's really good to testify is because when you tell a story about your life, it forces you to stop and think, what is my life about? Forces you to reflect. Forces you to look in the mirror rather than staring at the TV screen or the computer screen all the time. Right? All right, reason number two. Finding God in your situation causes reinterpretation. Let's all say it. Finding God in your situation causes reinterpretation. Now, some of you guys may do a lot of reflecting. Maybe all day long you talk to your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or you talk to your dog, or you talk to your cell phone, or whatever, and you're always talking about your life. But what you never do is you never stop to think about how God is involved in your life. You never stop to think about how the thing that's stressing you out, or the thing that's pissing you off, or the thing that's driving you crazy may just be a thorn in your side that God is putting because He wants to remind you of something. Or you think about all the things you're happy about. Yeah, I got my new car, my job is going well, school's going well, my relationships are going well. But you never stop to realize, hey, maybe this is God blessing me. Hey, maybe this is God answering those prayers that I prayed months and months ago when I was going through a really hard time. And now He's answering those prayers. And what happens when you testify, when you give a testimony, when you think about how can I tell my story, is that you are forced to remember, oh yeah, God has something to do with this, right? And so when you give a testimony, it's a chance for you to reinterpret your life, to reinterpret your reflections, to remind yourself again that, hey, there is a way to look at my life where, in fact, God has been faithful, where God is working, where God is very present. And you know, God is always present in our world. God is always present in our lives. And the question is always, do we see it? And so when you give testimonies, it forces you, it gives you an opportunity to really look for how God is in your life. All right, number three. All together now. Letting others make contact is a loving act. Okay? Letting others make contact is a loving act. Now, when you tell your testimony, of course it is for yourself so that you can reflect, so you can find God in your life. But it's also something that's for the person that you're telling your story to. And when two people today share their testimony with us this morning, what they're doing is a loving act. Because what they're doing is they're kind of opening their lives to us, right? I mean, sometimes telling your story is scary. Like talking about the things that you're going through or the things that you're experiencing is nerve-wracking, or it's kind of intimidating. Because what you're doing is kind of, imagine that your heart and your mind are like a book, and it's like the diary of your life, and you're opening your diary and letting somebody else read it. And that can be a very vulnerable thing and a scary thing, right? But what happens when you give your testimony is that you basically invite somebody into your life. You invite somebody into your world. In a sense, you invite them into your journal, your diary. Okay, and you kind of say to them that I'm telling you this story because I want to share my life with you, because it may help you or it may give you a chance to help me. And I think most of our lives we live very protected and very close to each other, and speaking your life to somebody else invites them in. And I know that that's a hard thing to do. It's a dangerous thing to do sometimes. Sometimes it's a scary thing to do. But what happens when you do that? Is you start to reflect the image of God. Because God is an incredibly open and inviting God. God is a God who not only wants you to know his mind, but a God who came down in human form in the flesh to let us know that he very much wants to dwell with us where we're at. Right? And so when you tell your story and open your heart to other people, you are doing a Christ-like act, a sacrificial act of love. Okay, so that's reason number three. Reason number four, all together now. Narrate your faith to others, teach your kids, sisters, and brothers. All right, now some of you guys, if I ever said, come up here on Sunday and give us a sermon, you'd say, me? I can't teach anything, I don't know anything. But see, God meant for not just Paul to be talking all the time, or the pastor to be talking all the time, or preachers, but we're supposed to learn from each other. We're supposed to influence each other and teach each other, right? Now, some of you guys are like, oh, I never get a chance to give lectures. I would love to give a lecture to people. And you don't get to. But what you do get to do is you do get to tell about your life. And for those of you guys who are parents or older brothers or sisters, or even if you think of brothers and sisters not just as family, biological family, but as the brothers and sisters that you see around you, when you tell your story, you get a chance to teach them something. And you may not be teaching them a grand lesson, but sometimes a preacher can come up here and tell you like the most dynamic sermon with all this stuff in the Bible, and this is how you should live and this is what you should do, and you know, it doesn't really affect you. But another person that you see every day, that you live with, that you just hang out with here at church, comes up here and they tell their story about a time when they were weak, a time when they struggled, a time when they found God, and that will really move you. You know, because Christian life is meant to be lived in real life. And when we get to share our real life with each other, I think that really influences each other. And so I hope that our church develops a culture, not just of people coming up on Sunday, but of people regularly in their everyday lives, just talking to each other about things that are going on. So that we can, by the example of the things that we struggle with and the things that we experience God's help and grace with, teach each other. Okay? Last one. Reason number five. When you tell your story, God receives much glory. Did you guys notice they rhyme? Yeah, thanks. I'm kind of lame. Can I be honest with you? I totally came up with this like this morning, 5 minutes before service. All right. When you tell your story, God receives much glory. And what that means is that when you tell another person, hey, you know what? I've been really having a hard time because I'm not getting any sleep because I'm playing video games till 4 a.m. This is true for me, guys. And God has been knocking on my heart and kind of reminding me, you know, I have better things to live for. God receives glory. Okay, and what I mean by receives glory is that somewhere in this grand universe that's so broken and fallen, where so many people, where we all just kind of live all the time in regular ignorance or disobedience of the good life that God has for us, when there's this tiny like fracture or break when God's light can shine into our life, even just a sliver of light, that brings God glory. That gives God joy. Like angels sing and rejoice when that happens. And when you tell another person about your struggles, when you confess a sin, or when you say, man, guys, I had this horrible car accident, but somehow I made it out alive. Praise God. Don't you guys know that angels rejoice over that when we recognize that God is indeed loving, that he is indeed holy, that he is indeed in the world? And that's just an amazing thing. And so I just want to say these things just to encourage all of us to make testifying a part of the fabric of our community, a part of our regular everyday lives. So let's review our five reasons again from the top. And can we switch it all the way to the top and let's all say them so that I can revel in the creativity of my own rhymes. All right, here we go. Ready? Reason number one, stopping to reflect has a transformative effect. Reason number two, finding God in your situation causes reinterpretation. Reason number three, letting others make contact is a loving act. Reason number four, narrate your faith to others, teach your kids, sisters, and brothers. And reason number five, when you tell your story, God receives much glory. All right, that was the cheesiest thing I've ever done. How about a round of applause for me? Thank you, Paul. All right. I don't really need rounds of applause, but I just want you to practice because I really want you to give it up for the two people who are giving testimonies this morning. So first I want to invite up, when I first got here 10 years ago to Home of Christ, not here, but to our little school classroom where we met, the first person actually I met was the person who's going to give us our testimony today. Okay, and she's been faithfully with us ever since. Let's warmly welcome up Alice. Hey.
I'm too short. I don't know. Am I really the first one? Testimony is kind of a big word, so it's just sharing. So about 10 years ago, English congregation has kind of start to form, and at that time there were only 3 persons, it's me and Marshall and my cousin Denise. And I still remember it was in a small classroom in Arnwood Elementary School, and it was kind of boring. And Denise and I were kind of halfway forced to go there by our family. And in my thoughts, I came here from Hong Kong, kind of new, and I don't know anything. I am not interested in everything. And so the lifestyle and all the stuff makes me think, well, church here is just not the same in Hong Kong. It's different. It's not my style. And so why not I just read the Bible? It's still the same thing. It's not really important to go to church. And so the thoughts keep in my mind for months until Paul came, and things start to change. He brought new people here, like Sunny and Brian. They're cool guys. And it was fun. Not only fun, but Paul also kind of brought the idea of caring each other, love and sharing. And I still remember in 2001, it's before 9/11, I had the time to go back to Hong Kong, and it was in the morning, and I still remember Paul offered me and my family a ride at before 6 a.m. I don't know when he woke up, but it was just so warm. It's like, oh, if someone can do that to me and my family, that's amazing. And so the bond, the loving bond between brothers and sisters start to like grow, and that's why this bond can lead us grow. And so we moved to Agape Center, which is in Fremont, not far from here. Well, it's still small, but it's bigger than a classroom. And so more people came, and I still remember Elaine and Susan and Kevin were there. Everyone so warm, even though they know each other for a longer time, but still we kind of grow together. And I start realize I no longer came to church because I feel like I have to. It's not a duty. It's not because the crazy game we used to play in Friday night fellowship, even though it's like I enjoy it. But it's because of the love and sharing of each other's life, even like burdens or worries, nervous, happiness, everything we share and appreciate it. And small things like Elaine helped me choose class in college, or Susan gave me a ride to San Francisco, or a big thing like inviting me to witness your weddings. Like, this sharing is awesome. And this motivates me to help others too. So I really enjoy painting someone's house or doing the mural in the newer building over there. And so without all these bonds, I don't think I can keep following God in the right way. And if we don't care each other, we won't grow. That's why in about 2005, we moved from Agape Center to the Extended Stay America Hotel. It sounds weird, hotel, the conference room. It's kind of same size here. But, hotel is not really the right place. That's why we moved here. And it's amazing to see we keep on moving. And I think God has the purpose to lead me to the U.S., to Fremont, and now to Newark, and meeting all of you guys in Hawk 6. And I don't think I've done much here to help throughout the past 10 years, but yet I'm proud to be part of it. And lastly, I forgot since when I do the attendance counting each Sunday, but it's so amazing to see the numbers keep growing and all of you guys keep coming back. So I hope our bond won't stop, but instead it expand, and hope to see more new guys come. Yeah, thank you.
All right, that was lovely, Alice. Thank you so much for sharing that. And our other testimony this morning is from our brother, Chris Thomas. So let's welcome Chris up.
Hi, good morning. So looking back at the 10 years of our church and the way that God has blessed us, I wanted to share just one experience, but it was one of the most miraculous things I've ever experienced in my life, and share the story. Some of you may have heard, but I think most of you haven't. And actually, as I'm about to share it, I realize we didn't put on the timeline. We'll have to edit there. belongs up there. It happened in 2004. 2004 was the year that Kathy and I met for the first time, and we were dating. And at that time, I was living in San Francisco and going to a church up there, and she was living in Fremont and going to Home of Christ 6 here. And I'd heard about the church, and I hadn't at that point been here yet because on Sunday mornings I was at my other church. And this is during that summer, and we were dating. We typically see each other on the weekends because of the distance. And we'd get together and go look at things, sightseeing around the Bay Area. And on this particular weekend, I had to go back through my planner to find out exactly what I knew. It happened that summer. It was on July 24th and 25th. It was that weekend. We'd gone out actually that Saturday. She had a dentist appointment in the morning, and then she came to San Francisco where I was living, and then she left her car there. We took my car, went out sightseeing, and as I recall, we sort of got lost, and it got late by the time we got back to where I was living, and then from there she had to drive the 30 miles to Fremont. So it was late, and I was concerned her driving alone at night, and I talked to her on the phone after she got home, and she got home safely. And so that was good. The following morning, Sunday morning, she was it overslept a bit and was headed to church first to pick up John Bobo and John Mama in the Mandarin congregation, as she normally does. And instead of taking local roads, decided to take the highway to save some time. And she was on 880 headed northbound in the fast lane. And those of us who know travel 880 know sometimes there's debris in the highway unexpectedly. On this particular morning, there's a large cooking pot sitting in the fast lane. And she came upon it with only seconds to react to this. And and instinctively swerved, veered to the right to avoid the pot, and in doing, and instantaneously lost control of the car. The car started to spin out of control. It went through all the middle lanes down to the slow lane to the shoulder. When it reached the guardrail, it slammed into the guardrail with so much force that it broke the rear axle of the car. It then bounced off the guardrail and came to rest in the center lanes of the highway. And at that point, a motorist who saw what had happened came to stop to help, and themselves, we're told, actually got into a bit of a fender bender. The paramedics came, and she was taken to the hospital. And she was treated, and they were able to release her the same day. And then Elder Chang and his wife, Shufen, they came, they got her from the hospital, and they took her into their own house. And not just for hours or for overnight, they actually took her in for the entire week, which I think really just shows the love that the church has. And when I found out what had happened, I went to Elder's house to visit her, and she had a brace around her neck because she had whiplash. She couldn't move her neck, and she was very weak and very hard to walk at that point, mostly confined to bed. And but just the warmth that we felt there, Elder and his wife, they fed us dinner, and then Elder had invited over people from Home of Christ. This is the first time I met people from the church, and it wasn't just a few people. I mean, so many people came, and he had filled the entire living room with people, and they spoke English, so I could understand, which I appreciate. And they sang songs together, prayed for her. He poured oil on her head, and God blessed us. Over time made a full recovery with no lasting effect from the accident. I took her after a week. When I came to get her from Elder's house, I just had a small car at that time. I remember we just filled the entire car with stuff. People had given her like so much stuff, like she's like moving out. just the warmth and the caring that the church had for her, like I said, made a full recovery. We kind of probably would have wished the story had just ended there, because it's that would have been a good ending. Actually, it still has a good ending, but it didn't end there. What had happened was, at that time, we were naive and didn't realize that not having health insurance could be a problem. So at first, some bills started to trickle in, and they were smaller bills. We were able to talk to the people and sort of negotiate the amount and the terms and so forth, and it seemed like things were manageable. And it's kind of ironic in life that when things are manageable, we just don't think to pray, which we should have been praying. But things were manageable until we received the actual hospital bill, which we thought, how much could it really be for? It wasn't even an overnight stay; it was treated and released. So we thought it would be so. Anyhow. When we got the bill, it was enormous. It was. It was more than $20,000. And at that time, I was working an entry-level job. She was between jobs, and we didn't know what to do with this. So I think we did what anyone in our position would have done. That was to ignore it, right? you see what'll happen, right? And so that didn't last too long. Because when you ignore it, then it's not long before debt collectors start calling. And if you've ever experienced debt collectors, they'll hound you mercilessly. That's their job. So they just call relentlessly. And I can even remember I think the one phone number they hadn't gotten a hold of was my cell phone number. And so I remember, like, during my lunch hour, I go down to a payphone to call them back, because I didn't want them to get my cell number, because they're like the one number we managed to save. And the conversations, they all would kind of go the same direction. You know, you'd try talking with them, and that doesn't work. You negotiate. That doesn't seem to lead anywhere, and then try more like begging, and it wasn't getting anywhere. They wanted payment in full, and they wanted it immediately. So then we turned to what we should have done from the beginning, which was to pray, because in those moments, all we have is our faith. And as it says in Matthew 11, 28-30, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find your rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And after we had prayed, I was looking on the hospital's website, and they have a fund of people who just generously donate money from time to time for people who have problems paying their bills. And it didn't make it sound very convincing that they can't help everyone, but there's some money there, and if you were to make an appeal, they could see what they could do to help. And I remember writing the letter to them and just explaining the situation, that we weren't trying to freeload, we weren't trying to take services that we couldn't afford, but things happen in life, and this is the situation that we found ourselves in. And we wrote the letter and dropped it in the mailbox. And then a few weeks later, we got a response back from the hospital, and they erased our debt entirely. And we only have God to thank for that He was watching us. As it talks about in Psalm 50:15, it says to call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And in this case, the glory to God has been long overdue, and thank you for allowing me to share this testimony.
Thank you, Chris and Kathy, for that story. I think this is yours, Alice. This isn't mine, but... all right, and it's just such a blessing that to hear those two stories of one, I think, a specific incident, and the other, I think, just a long-term story of how God unfolded Alice's relationship to the church, and actually having been able to see Alice in the last 10 years and how she's grown. And even though she said she feels like she doesn't do a lot for the church, that's totally not true. We totally rely on her every week. And then I remember actually when all this had happened, and Elder Chang asked us as a deacon board to pray for you guys, and we took actually a part of a deacon board meeting just to pray especially for you guys and to see how God answered that prayer. I actually never knew how He answered that prayer, and so it's totally a blessing to hear. Guys, we're not meant to live life alone, and I think we do too much, and I have to admit that I probably do too much, and part of not living that life alone is not just making time to spend with each other. I think we do spend a lot of time with each other, but sometimes we spend a lot of that time watching television or playing basketball, or that's all good, nothing wrong with that. Maybe we spend too little of that time really just opening up about our lives with each other. And if we can be a church that does that, I think that God will teach us how to love. And God will teach us how to reach out. God will teach us how to walk with each other and carry each other's burdens. Passage that... Next one. Thank you again. The passage that Steve shared with us last week when he came to preach started with this verse that goes through, "Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which with such sacrifices God is pleased." You know what picture this paints for me? When you think of worship, what do you think of? I think of Daniel playing piano. And then for some reason, I think of incense. Like, worship always has to involve incense, although we never use incense in our church, which is probably good. I don't really like the smell of incense. But, you know, like, even in other religions, you know, they spell incense. And it's this idea of, like, something going up off in smoke into the air to God or to the gods. And that's what I think of when I think of worship. Or I think of people singing and going like this. Or I guess in our church, really, me singing and going like this. And you know, it's sort of like, oh, me and God. And I think that's all good. Nothing wrong with those things. Actually, sorry, if it's only to the true God. All right. So, but the picture that this paints is something totally different, right? It's not the music that comes out of a piano. It's the music that comes out of somebody saying to somebody else, I don't know what I'm going to do with this hospital bill. I guess we should pray. And the incense is not the smell of some sticks going up with some smell going up to the air. It's the aroma of one person saying to another, how can I help you with that? And the hands in the air is not some person's showy representation of their own spirituality. It's when we're at the end of ourselves and we come to pray and we call a friend and that friend will pray with us and shed tears with us and rejoice with us. That's worship. That's amazing. And that's a beautiful picture. And will you go back? The verse right before this that Steve didn't share about is this one of my favorite passages in the Bible, which basically says that what Jesus did is that he went to the... obviously, it's one of my favorite passages. I haven't even started explaining it, and I'm tearing up. What Jesus did is he went outside of the city gates. He went to the dumpster where they dump the criminals and the junk, the refuse of the world. And he went there and offered the sacrifice of himself in order to make us holy. Because that's where we are and that's where we belong, in the dumpster. And he goes out there and gives himself, bearing the disgrace that he bore, so that we could be part of a city that endures, that lasts forever. In other words, it doesn't matter how much you are scum of the earth, Jesus goes to be scum of the earth with you and makes it so that we can be part of an enduring kingdom. That's what this Sunday worship service is. It's scum of the earth getting together who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, who identifies with us in the worst of our sin and says, you're forgiven, and makes us into one family of that forgiveness. Wow. So when we celebrate our 10th anniversary, church, let's not make it about, you know, all hail the pastor, you know, or whoever. Let's really make it about, wow, Jesus, this is our church, and you are our God. Okay? There's paper sitting on those little tables, and there are Bibles for you to look at and write on, and there's pens. Would everybody grab a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and something to write on? And for 5 minutes, and that's not enough time. Some of you guys need longer to write, but I'd like you to get started on something. And I want to encourage you to write your story, and let me just encourage you this way. Whether it's Alice, like Alice's, you know, a telescope of the last 10 or 20 or 30 years of your life, or 40 years or whatever, or whether it's like Chris's, just one particular incident where you've never reflected, you've never stopped to see how God was at work in that, you never stopped to share that with somebody and open up yourself to other people, you've never stopped to give God the glory. Let's write a testimony, okay? And after you've started writing it, whatever you do with it, whether you email it to me and say, Paul, put this on the church website or put this on the church blog, or whether you say, Paul, I would like to share this next Sunday because we actually still have another spot for next Sunday, and if anybody would like to share, we would love for you to fill it. Or you'd say, Paul, you know, you don't even say Paul, you just say, decide, I'm going to tell this to my wife and I've never told it to her. I'm going to tell this to my friend and I've never told it to her. Or I'm going to ask to share this on small group. Let's bless each other by opening ourselves and the stories of our lives. And give praise to God. Okay? So let's take 5 minutes to just write. And while you do that, I'm going to just play piano. And then after 5 minutes, I'm going to ask Daniel and Elaine to come back up here and continue leading us in worship. But for those 5 minutes, I'm going to just encourage you guys to take some time, reflect, give praise to God. Okay?